No question about it, leaving tomorrow. Actually, Omar, you'll be up there tomorrow in Boston, getting ready, making your way to Foxborough for that 1 o'clock game.
Staying in Cambridge, going to be hanging out with the Harvard students, and then we're going to the North End. We're having dinner as a group of those who are traveling, Joe and Davis, young Faronis.
You guys all get along pretty well.
I make sure we do.
What happened the old days when everybody was fighting?
I learned from the Dallas crew of guys that don't make your work environment miserable experience.
Now you guys sit together and share information. I'm like, damn.
Dinner and
got this one. Well, I'm not saying.
Beasley's a big drink buyer too.
Is he?
Yes, he is. Beasley's a shot guy.
Wow.
So I'm putting everybody's business out there.
No, that's good.
Perk will be drunk by 8 o'clock. He's watching college football. Perk gets there.
Hey, you can't call Perk out.
Perk is on the first thing smoking into whatever city we're going into because at noon o'clock, he's got to sit there and watch college games at a bar.
Let me tell you something. Perk is used to be was all night.
All night, yeah.
Now he's midnight. You got him in bed by midnight.
Oh, no. He doesn't even go. I don't think Perk makes it to dinner because he's been drinking all day.
Not to throw Perk's business out there, but then he never got back with that girl, huh? No way.
Joe, you know, we're not going to talk about other people's situations.
Hold up now. Hold up.
Hey, man, there's no man code on radio. Hey, there is no man code.
There's nobody with a worse situation than me, so I'm not going to throw shade on anybody.
That's fair. Hey, by the way, so we're getting ready to play at this point. This Patriots team, without their center now, who's been the stability of their offensive line, David Andrews, he is on IR.
Yeah.
Kyle Duggar.
We saw what happened.
Big Patriots safety who got a big contract to stay in New England, and he stayed.
Yep. That's Javon Holland contract.
Probably not going to play in this game. They have struggled like we have.
Mm-hmm. Got mediocre quarterback play.
You got to win this game. You
said that last week.
I did say it last week, and I'm telling you again, like, you got to find a way to beat the Patriots.
Yes, you do.
That loss was terrible and embarrassing last week, one of the most embarrassing losses I can remember ever. This one would be worse. Tennessee. Well, because you lost
at home,
by so much.
Monday night.
It was bad, all that stuff.
You had to get revenge from last year because they spoiled
your
season.
But I just think – Now our quarterback's got a week, and I know I'm not making it sound like a full camp, but you just
– maybe a little bit better chemistry.
Something. You just – and defensively, they got to be thinking, we got to keep them at their number. We got to keep them around that 13-point. That's – you know, you can't field goals and keep them out of the end zone with a touchdown and make them just kick field goals or one touchdown.
You know what you got to do, Joe? You got to score 21 points.
Okay.
Can you do that?
I mean, you can. He makes a good throw. You catch somebody man-to-man. Patriots have been tough on the Dolphins in years with their style with Belichick. But last 2 weeks, they have not been good against the Jets and the 49ers.
Ooh,
by the way,
I mean,
both have
good
very good.
The yeah,
exactly. They, got very, they couldn't block Nick Bosa last week watching that game. I mean, he was just – could not block him.
Let's hope they can block Emmanuel Agba.
So anyway, and you know what? Jalen Phillips is out, and he's not coming back this year. You've got to get probably Muhammad Kamara is going to have to play. Chop Robinson is going to play more, and Quentin Bell to go with Agba. They're going to rotate those four guys. Agba probably play the most, but we need to get some sacks and some serious pressures out of those guys.
I think you got to stop the run. Because if you don't stop the run, that's your number one Achilles heel right now, this Dolphins defense.
And that's what they're talking
they're
about.
They're a very good defense. They are sixth in the NFL. They are number one on third downs. Their issue is they can't stop the run in the red zone.
You're talking about Dolphins side. You flip on me. Yeah, okay. No, I agree.
So we know what to expect over there. Can you get 21 points?
They don't have any receivers that scare you. And I think Kendrick Bourne's going to be back this week, but I mean, the guys they're going with, they're just guys. They're
good way to describe them.
Yes. I'm not. I mean, they're NFL receivers, but KJ Osborne, who you know is a third guy and started some games last year with Minnesota, is now a starter as well, and he's a hell of a story out of University of Miami. But you have
yeah,
you gotta just gotta win this game. Just got
it, this squad reminds me, because
I gotta tell you, the schedule, you start to look schedule, even though some of the records aren't as good, you're gonna step up in competition after this game. The Colts are stepping up in competition. Even Arizona is gonna be stepping up in competition a little bit. And those teams aren't exactly world beaters either. But and then we'll find out when Tua's coming back. That's a frustrating part. We sit here and talk, and do you know for sure he's coming back? No.
I don't know if he'll be allowed to come back, but I think he's coming back.
But do you know for sure? Like, we know some guy's coming back, and you don't know with him.
No, you don't know. That's a good question. I'll try to get clarified from Mike McDaniel.
Oh, he's not gonna touch it. Oh, he's doing everything possible and all that stuff. But yeah. Anyway, hey, we're gonna have Mike Florio join us in just a couple of minutes. We'll jump on that with Pro Football Talk. Talk about all the topics around the league. What's the best number one topic for you? To me, has been the backup quarterbacks and the comeback of guys that lost their jobs and are playing at a really, high level. Sam Darnold won, and Baker Mayfield ain't far behind.
He led teams to the playoffs last year, but yeah.
Ready to give up on him in a couple locations.
They did give up on him in a couple locations, but that doesn't mean anything. Look at the Carolina Panthers. What good decision have they made the last decade?
What's Cleveland Browns done with quarterback position?
Oh, boy, that's another one.
How about that one? Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us, as he usually does on a Friday. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Joe, I'm doing great. How are you? Do you have any idea how long we've been doing this on Friday mornings?
You know what? I know it goes back to when Nick Saban was the coach here.
That's a long time. 2004.
And by the way, I found out about Mike from his assistant coaches that said, hey, you know, we were just talking, making small time. They said, you got to use this guy, Mike Florio. He gets a lot of stuff. And by the way, some of it, they didn't say all of it, but he goes, some of it, especially around here, has been accurate. And I went, that's all I need. That was all I needed to hear. So, yeah. I guess, Mike, have you been with a lot of the radio people for this long, or are we the original?
It's you and it's Paul Allen in Minneapolis, who does play-by-play for the Vikings games. Those are the two that have lasted the longest. I also have a standing spot on The Score in Chicago at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock. I always get the Central and Eastern screwed up, but I've been doing a Wednesday there forever, and I do a Tuesday morning there too, and I've been doing that for a long time. So, now that I got so much else going on, I keep it to a fairly limited handful. But, yeah, we've been doing it. It has been like 14, 15 years. And now I remember you've said before that, like, this relationship has lasted longer than your marriages.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Listen. And
by the way, it blew the first one away, not even close. I mean, you and I, you're really strong when it comes there, for sure.
Here's the thing. It's funny that you've gotten to the point, Mike, or your site has gotten to the point where if anything is an aggregator, I'll say it's the Pro Football Talk of this. You understand what I'm saying? You get the point I'm making?
No, I hear what you're saying. No, I hear you. And look, I think we do a lot more than aggregate.
Yes.
And that word has a connotation to me that reminds me of how I felt about the word blogger, because it would be used dismissively and derisively back in the early part of the first decade of the century. But yeah, I mean, we've become, and we've been for a long time, basically the wire service for the NFL, where whatever's going on, we'll get it out there. And whether it's stuff we report, whether it's stuff others report, whatever it is, transactions that are announced by the team, press conferences that stream online that anyone can watch and quote and synthesize, we try to get it all out there. And I always try to put my own take on whatever the development is, whether it's something people agree with or disagree with. I interpret, you know, based on 25 years of doing this, what I think this means and where I think the ball is going to go from here. So
and
it has been a long time.
When I say aggregator, I mean gathering place.
Right. Oh, and I hear you. But you know how the word aggregator gets used.
Yes, I do.
By some. And I'm not suggesting that you meant it that way. But when I hear that word, it reminds me of the people who will use aggregator to dismiss. Because I do it myself with some of these Twitter bot accounts that are just ridiculous in how they take things and twist them for engagement farming, and they warp reality and they create a false impression, and I don't think that's good for anybody.
Well, Mike, I got to tell you, the other day I just happened to turn you on, speaking of Pro Football Talk, and you guys were talking about how How did the Miami Dolphins get in this situation? Matter of fact, you had the former head coach for the Dallas Cowboys, and you guys were talking about this topic, about the situation the Miami Dolphins are in right now. We wonder the same thing. How did they, the evaluation of Skylar Thompson to start with, and second of all, not coming with another veteran quarterback, knowing Tua's background and his history?
And, you know, Jason Garrett is hardly a hot take artist. I try to draw a little something out of him, and he and I sit next to each other when we watch the games, and we have a little good-natured back and forth, because I'm always looking to find the drama in anything, because drama and intrigue sell, and he always cautions for a more careful and deliberate approach. So when he says on our show Wednesday that the backup quarterback situation in Miami is shocking to him, that resonates, because he doesn't throw that word around very often. But when you think about it, veteran quarterback with starting experience. Skylar Thompson has starting experience, but he's not really the kind of veteran that you could plug and play. Look at Joe Flacco. I talked to Flacco after he came off the bench when Anthony Richardson got hurt on Sunday and beat the Steelers. Why'd you pick the Colts? Well, it's not like the phone was ringing off the hook. The Browns didn't even want him back. Now, I think the Browns couldn't bring him back because Browns fans currently would be circling the stadium demanding that he play instead of Deshaun Watson.
That would be correct.
But you've got to have, of all teams in the NFL, it's like we forgot about Tua's concussion history because he made it through a season without one, which is very naive and dumb of anyone to do. But I did it too. Hey, he's got it all figured out. He knows how to fall. Everything's fine. The concussions are behind him. And then it comes back in one moment, 22 days ago. And I remember feeling like, how dumb am I that I just kind of acted like this isn't a thing? Because it's clearly a thing, and you need to be ready to have someone who can step in and play, who can run that offense. All that shell game stuff that looks so beautiful, where's the ball? I don't know. Who do you throw it to? I don't know. You need reps at that. They needed somebody in there who could do that over and over again and run it the way Tua does. And they don't have anybody that can even come close to running the offense the way Tua does. And it's more and more glaring with each passing game.
Mike, let me ask you this question, because this is what everybody is talking about, but they don't want to address it face on. If Tua comes back, and we know he's going to come back, unless the NFL or the Dolphins prevent him from coming back, and I don't think that they can, if he comes back and he suffers another concussion, is that it? Is it a wrap?
Well, think about how we felt 3 weeks ago today, the morning after his latest concussion. People were openly calling for him to retire, which I think is a little much because it's not their decision to make. And as long as he's cleared to play, you know, I've said this time and again throughout the NFL's awareness of concussions, we take risks that are far worse than getting a concussion for a lot less money than what you paid to play football. I mean, people driving around on a motorcycle without a helmet where it's legal to do so, they're taking that risk every single time, and nobody says boo about it. So he can make the conscious and deliberate choice to keep playing if he wants. But one of the things Mike McDaniel was preaching was no timelines, no urgency. Let's let him make a good decision. I don't know how he makes any good decisions when he's standing there on the sideline, feeling the frustration that everyone is feeling about the operation of the offense without him. How do you make a clear-headed, no pun intended, long-term, short-term decision about what's in your best interest when you feel the magnetic force of, I need to get back on the field. I need to help my team. I'm the guy that can fix this because none of these other quarterbacks can get it done. I was hoping when this all first happened that we get through the season and he makes a long-term decision about his future. And I feel like the momentum has now swung toward, hey, when the window opens for him to come back, he's coming back, period. But it wasn't some fluke injury. He didn't have the DeMar Hamlin injury that's one in a billion. He had an injury that happens all the time. And when he comes back and plays, chances are it's going to happen again at some point. So to answer your question, Omar, there's going to be one concussion that's one too many, and he's not going to get cleared to return. But for now, it sure feels like, hey, symptoms are gone. He wants to come back. Dolphins need him. And back he comes. And he's got every right to do it. I just don't know that it's good for the league. And that's why I wonder, ultimately, will the independent neurologist, who is an employee of the NFL, independent of the team but not independent of the league, will the independent neurologist clear him to come back, and will that needle be nudged in one direction or the other by the people who pay that independent neurologist? I think that's the real focus. What does the league want, And if the league doesn't want him to play this year, what can the league do to influence the process to keep him on the sidelines?
Let me ask you this question, because I worry about Tua, as does everybody else. Do you think, and I know the research isn't out there, and that there are five players that are wearing the Guardian caps that are out there. Do you think that if he comes back, somebody should talk to him about possibly putting on that Guardian cap and taking every precaution that you possibly can to make sure that your head doesn't get rattled again?
Oh, I think taking every precaution you can is what's critical, because it's not just equipment. It's not dropping your shoulder into a defensive back when you've already gotten the first down and you should have slid or found a way to bail out so you don't take the blow to the head. So there are many precautions you need to take to avoid blows to the head. If there's something you can do with that Guardian cap that makes you safer and doesn't give you a false sense of security, then by all means, go for it. Now, the NFL will say, well, we've got these position-specific helmets now that are as safe as a normal helmet with a Guardian cap. And it's like, okay, well, wouldn't it be even safer with a Guardian cap on it? So, yeah, I think that it's something he should definitely consider. But then you get into that whole, you know, the machismo that trickles into football. I think a lot of guys won't wear one during a game because they don't want to make it look like they're trying to be too careful or that they're concerned about this or concerned about that. So I bet it will be a tough sell to get him to do it.
It's like the equivalent of seatbelts, though.
They are ugly. Some guys have said, nah, I don't know, man. I don't want to wear them. I know. I listen, I don't disagree. Hey, I got to ask you about Devontae Adams. Mike, is that trade going to happen? Does he end up being a New York Jet?
I think the only way he's not traded by the Raiders is if they go on a heater over the next few weeks and he realizes that they're the contender that he should want to play for. I don't think that's going to happen. And I look at the Jets, and they already have Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, and Mike Williams. One of those guys is the odd man out if Devontae Adams goes there. And there's already noise from Garrett Wilson that suggests he's not happy with his role in the offense. Aaron Rodgers' best buddy, number two, Alan Lazard, is getting a lot of targets and catches. He was MIA last year when Rodgers was injured. So in comes best buddy number one in Devontae Adams. What does that mean for Garrett Wilson? I just think that it's got the potential to be a mess. And we know that the Jets always find a way to screw things up. It's just in their DNA. So if I'm Adams, I don't know that that's where I want to go. I mean, the Chiefs would be a great destination. The Raiders fans would revolt, though, if Mark Davis handed the Chiefs the receiver they need right now and it pushes them to their third straight Super Bowl. So I don't see that happening. And it's going to be somewhere, and the sooner the better, because it's not easy to take a receiver and plug him into a new offense on the fly unless it's the exact same offense he's accustomed to. That makes it a little easier. But even then, the sooner you get this done, the better. So I think it will happen by the trade deadline, and the Jets are the one team that stands out. But I think others would maybe be a better place for him if his goal is to go somewhere and compete for a championship.
Mike, last night, the NFL got the game they want. If they could do it in every game, they got the picture-perfect game last night. Kirk Cousins throws for 500 yards, 4 touchdowns. Baker Mayfield, a little overtime to keep it going and just throwing it back and forth, 3 touchdowns. 36-30 game, couple missed field goals, but mostly some clutch ones made. I mean, boy, they would love to have that out in front for every Thursday night game kicking into the weekend. Boy, it was fun to watch. I got to admit, that was a great game to watch.
Well, and look what happens. We get through September, which is essentially an extension of the preseason now.
Right.
And teams work out a lot of kinks offensively. There wasn't much scoring. There wasn't much passing. We get into October, and we get one of those games. And I always love the games when both teams are at or near the 30s. You know, 30-27, 34-31. It's not an overabundance of scoring where it feels like an Arena League game, but it's just fun. And last night's game was fun. And, you know, one thing I hope they finally change, I don't know if you saw the item I wrote last night after the game, they got to make these face mask fouls reviewable. You can't have something that is that obvious. When you're embracing replay review for everything else, essentially, when you clearly have a grab and a pull of a face mask and the officials don't see it and we all see it, and that could have changed that last drive in regulation, when the Buccaneers had a chance to ice the game, they got to fix that. They in an age of legalized gambling, they've got to iron out the kind of mistake that currently can't be fixed by the visual evidence that is always clear and obvious. Face mask, it's always clear and obvious when someone grabs and pulls a face mask. And hopefully they'll fix that, because they're using it for so many other things. Why in the world wouldn't they use it for that?
Well, it's a dangerous one. So I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. So I got to ask you this one. So I thought last week Tennessee was a real bad team coming into Miami, and you saw what happened. This week, I think Patriots are just what they've done the last 2 weeks with the Jets and 49ers. They've been awful. They've got more guys hurt. Their center's out. One of their best, Duggar's out at safety. I don't think he's going to play. Mike, if you're going to win a game, and I know they're going to get more difficult for the Dolphins, don't you have to win this game? Like, do you feel like they got a chance in this game this week?
Well, they definitely have a chance. Anybody that plays the Patriots this year has a chance, and it's just weird to see how the world has turned in just a few years, where the Patriots are now a team that you look to when it's time to get right. I think that we could see Drake May get put in this game at some point, so the Dolphins may get a little bit of a, not surprise, because I think they'd be expecting it too, but a different offense, a different quarterback than what they're expecting. They just have to get their offense going, and maybe the extra week with Tyler Huntley will make a difference. Tyreek Hill was talking about that this week, about how the extra time and Huntley will be even better. Of course, before the game on Monday night, Tyreek Hill was interviewed in the tunnel by Laura Rutledge, and he was talking a big game then too. So I don't know. I mean, this is a game that actually is compelling to me, because for both teams, it's a rare opportunity to check a box with a win, at least, you know, for the Dolphins until Tua comes back. But yeah, whoever loses this one,
oh boy,
the desperation level is going to get even higher.
Yeah, it is going to get a lot worse. Who do you like? I'm just curious. Who are you going to, when you do your picks, what are you thinking?
I just the Patriots, just home field and short week for the Dolphins, and it just feels like things are in disarray right now, and I don't know that it gets better, and I think it's wearing on the team, it's wearing on the locker room, and the Tyreek Hill explanation for that video that we saw. I mean, come on, man. We saw what we saw. He wasn't trying to. He said he was trying to motivate 25. When you look at that video, I don't see 25 around.
No.
I see Mike McDaniel, and I see Wes Welker. And when you look at the look on Wes Welker's face, that was frustration from Tyreek Hill. And they need to get him involved early in this one. Find ways, creative ways to get the ball in his hands and let him have an impact, because he's still their best player.
Mike, you cheated a little bit. You saw Omar Kelly's article. Tyreek Hill needs a valuable lesson in leadership. And Omar here calls him out for everything, including what you're talking about. Did you saw it, right, before you just said that or no?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. But a lot of the stuff that's happening is pretty obvious to anybody that's been paying attention to football.
Yeah.
And Omar, I don't know how you feel about this. I think Tyreek Hill is so determined to not be perceived as a pain in the butt, to not get traded a second time, because he knows first time you get traded, you can say it's on them. Second time you get traded, it's on you. And I don't know whether he was influenced by what happened with Stephon Diggs, but throughout the offseason, he was clamoring for more money, but he never said anything about it. And I think he's very careful about the public perception that he's a problem, because he was a problem privately in Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think he wants to be painted as a problem in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to leave it right there. Mike, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Wow. I swear to God, I thought he read your article.
Listen, it's not a secret. The problem
No.
Nobody
Mike
will say anything.
No. Mike did bring up some that stuff and location of 25 and everything else. And
everybody knows, but nobody. And that's the thing I hate, when people know things and then they won't say anything. But somebody's got to say something.
I think somebody's just letting him blow off some steam.
They are. I mean, and I think he's handled this well. He's handled this three game stretch.
I got to tell you, man, he's not used to three catches for 20 yards, four catches for 30 yards.
Slowest start of his career.
Never seen anything like this.
Nope.
He feels like a plow horse instead of a thoroughbred over here at Gulfstream right now. Yeah, it's has not been easy. Hey, we got to go to break here. We got one more trip to make to the West Coast, as we're going to check in on DBJ as the University of Miami gets set tomorrow night, late night. We don't get to do this very often, but we are heading out to the West Coast to God's country, Berkeley, California, where the University of Miami is getting ready for a late night West Coast game tomorrow night. And Don Bailey Jr. already got up, walked down Telegraph Avenue a little bit, down lower part of Berkeley, and joins us this morning. DBJ, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I'll tell you, I didn't realize what a celebrity you are out here, Joe. I drop your name everywhere I get in front of the line. No questions asked. I talked to your boy Booza yesterday.
You talked to Booze, man. I saw the picture. Very funny.
Yeah, those nice pictures of you after your touchdown against Samford. And explain to me that monument right in front of the dormitories. I don't understand.
That's most where I lived, and I broke certain parts of my life happened there. That was a very big time in my life there as a high school virgin. That was big stuff in that dorm. There, no question about that.
Well,
no, that
was, I don't know, big. Bro. I saw a lot of doors that says Joe was here, baby.
They've been painted and knocked down since I've been there, man. It's been so long. Oh, man. Hey, man, how you feeling? We got into it. I got to tell you, Hollywood, and he's not here today to defend himself. He got into some weak-ass stuff about the time difference and the late-night game, and then some other people started agreeing with. Look, man, that's going to be the last thing they're thinking of. You're not worried about any of that stuff. You go to the West Coast for the first time, are you?
Joe, you get on a plane. You left a day early. You'll be acclimated by the time you're here. You get on a plane. You go. You take care of business. Once you run out on that field, you're not thinking about. You shouldn't be thinking about anything but whipping Cal's butt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're talking to a guy that my freshman year we flew to Japan and we flew to Syracuse and we flew to San Diego State. And I mean,
right?
I don't buy it. You know, That's an excuse factor, and especially coach did a good job of getting them prepared for it.
Yeah, and by the way, if you're going to be the team you want to be, and you want to go to the playoffs, you got to win this game. I mean, this is an ACC game. This is not an out of conference game. That's a throw in. You've got to win this game, and I feel good. I know that everybody's looking at point spreads, 10.5 points. So it's a lot closer game, but. You got to go out and clean up the game, tackle better, not turn the ball over. I don't know if you want to add anything. Offensive line didn't play great, in my opinion. I don't know what you thought of the O-line last week. The protection was pretty good, but not overall. What did you think about, just to wrap up, last week, and what needs to get cleaned up the most?
I think that this football team learned that if you do not go out and take every single play as serious as you're supposed to, you're going to have a long day. And it goes back to what everybody wants to turn away from you and I on. You give the football away three times, you're probably going to lose a darn football game.
Right.
It's just that I don't care. Talk to me about anything you want. You can talk about when it comes to this sport. The team that gives it away the most usually loses. And when you hit that number three, it's a miracle if you win a game. It's a miracle. It really is. And I think Miami gets that under control, and they understand that they are going to have to do a little bit better job running the football, and they have got to take some of the pressure off this quarterback. I mean, they really do. This guy has just been magical the whole season, and let's get some other things established and come out here and take care of business. And I don't care if we come back with a 1-point win or a 21-point win. Coming out here, playing an ACC game like you mentioned, the goal is to win the football game, period.
Don, Omar Kelly here. I worry about the hurricane hangover. We know in the past, two decades, anytime they have some struggle or hit some adversity, it's a hangover, hurricane hangover, and it's hard for them to let it go. Do you fear that the struggles that they had against Virginia Tech will knock their confidence and lead to one of those hurricane hangovers?
Well, I would say I see where you're coming from, but if I didn't see the fight that they had and how they played 60 full minutes against Virginia Tech to win, I would say, yeah, you probably are onto something. I think Coach Cristobal's worked that hangover deal out of them. Now, you know, that was a win. Everybody talks about the Virginia Tech game like Miami lost. We won the football game. You won the football game by 4 points. You won the football game at home. Was it your best game? No. Was it the best team you've played to date? I would argue that it was. I will also tell you that I think this team is better than Virginia Tech in a lot of categories. If you matched them up, I can't tell you who's going to win. But this is a pretty darn good football team that nobody knows about, including me, until I dug into them this last week. They've got a very good defense. They got a quarterback that could help anybody win a football game, a guy that's from in Miami, actually. But I don't fear a hangover. There's no hangover to me in that football game. Miami beat Virginia Tech, period. That's what happened. Was it like they won the first four games? Absolutely not, Omar. But it also, the opponent wasn't like the first four games. So I think they learned from it, and the coaches did a good job of treating it as close to a loss as you can, but understanding how hard it is to win.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I like. If they can't run the ball and they get one-dimensional, there's nobody I'd rather be one-dimensional with than this guy Cam Ward, because he can drop back. And some of the decisions he made, especially late in the game, and some of those plays and some of the throws, people are still talking about some of the good throws. And at the same time, I think we got to be a little careful not forcing the ball to Restrepo. Do you agree with that sometimes? I know it's habit because he's so damn good. Just got to be careful on that.
Yeah, if I can see how it can happen, Joe.
I do. I mean, no question.
This is why you want to go to this guy. Restrepo's earned the right to be the most popular receiver. He's earned it. I mean, he makes the catches. We saw that last week. And he makes the plays. We've seen that for the last 2 years. But there's other guys that are starting to show up. I mean, Isaiah Horton, I think, is really starting to make some ground. And to me, I think that tight end room had as good a game last week as you can. And I don't know if you saw it, but Elijah Arroyo made that tackle on that interception. Huh. If you haven't seen it, or Omar, if you haven't seen it, or for our listeners hasn't seen it, go watch it. Because, Joe, I'm telling you.
He outran everybody. I had to go back and see it. Coach talked about it. I went back and watched it. It was one of the more incredible plays for that guy. Far side of the field, way behind, to stick with that thing and make that tackle around, the 15-yard line or whatever, and hold him to a field goal, ends up being a difference in the game. Amazing hustle play by that kid.
Joe, he was at the -3 and walked him down at to the opposite 15 and made the tackle. I mean, I've never, and in all my life, I've never seen anything like that in my life. And here's what I believe. That whatever round he's getting drafted in, he just upped it a full round on that play.
it was crazy how good. Who was it that ran a guy down the NFL? Was that DK Metcalf that ran down the safety for Arizona? And he was jogging thinking he had it going down the sideline, and here comes that. It felt like that. It was just an incredible, incredible play. Hey, has much been said about the tackling last week and point of attack? What was the biggest problem you saw?
I think first of all, the biggest problem was that running back they had.
Yeah, he was good.
I think let's give him a little bit of credit there. They did a good job of getting him on the edges. And you know what's funny? Earlier in the week, I don't remember who I talked to, but they brought up prior to that game how they have to do a great job tackling, because the power of the running game that Virginia Tech had could hurt Miami. And sure enough, you know, a lot of those guys, they said, no arm tackling. You got to center everybody up. And Miami didn't do a real good job of that. And they had more broken tackles that game than they had actually coming into the game. You know, if you take all the combined broken tackles. So that hurt them a lot. But they worked on it very, very hard. And it became crystal clear that you need to listen to these coaches. And I really think the thing that happens, Joe, is in all sport, on all levels of football, it's so fundamental. And the minute you think you can get away from that, you have a problem. And Miami was refocused, I'm sure, this week on the fundamentals of the game.
Well, man, it's a great opportunity, Don. As you know, game day is going to be out there. It's obviously big for Berkeley. You talked about Fernando Mendoza out of Columbus High School.
Yep.
And what he's been able to do is he walked on at Cal. Got the scholarship and leading this team right now. And I talked to those guys out there, really, really like him, just how much and what a leader he's become and everything else. But, hey, man, enough for the nice stories. You just got to take care of business, like you said.
No, you got to go a little old school out here, Joe. I think that's really what Miami's got to try and do, is just get back to where they were and be prepared for Cal, but I'll tell you, those who are going to be able to stay up late enough to watch it, I think you're going to see a heck of a football game.
All right. Well, not too close, but anyway, I got you. Hey, man, if you get a chance below there, below the campus or around the campus, you might want to grab a Top Dog. I don't know if you've talked to Gino Toretto, who's from out there, and he every time he goes out there, he sends me a picture at Top Dog. It's guaranteed heartburn if it's late night. Guaranteed, but it's very tasty. It's worth the heartburn, the Top Dog.
All right. I might try one of those Top Dogs, Joe, but I can't promise it.
Stay away from that. Staying away from everything else out there, though. It gets a little tricky out there, that those guys around with the bag. See if those guys still around the cheap pot of pot that they do. They have a bag of it, and it's not very good stuff anyway, so don't worry about that stuff. Anyway, DBJ, thank you, man.
All right, Omar. See you later, Joe. Have a good day, guys.
I had to get him. Man, you can't get Don Bailey Jr., man. It's impossible. Hey, that's going to do it for our show. We're just about out of time here. Hey, Omar, thank you, man.
Always a pleasure.
Appreciate you coming in and stirring it up.
I actually won't see you Monday because I'll be traveling back. But
no, I will. I'll be here Monday morning and catch that late night plane back here.
I know. No, that's not late night.
You know what I really like, though? I know I'm not being a pig about this. I would love to see Miami get a nice win, nice little double-digit win. I'm not being a pig, not a big one, not 30 or 40 points. They just
need to release some pressure.
Yeah. Don't take it down the last drive and then for the Dolphins to somehow
find a run game. That might make things easier.
Get a little run game going. That'd be a nice way to do it. Hey, that's going to do it for us. Have a great weekend, everybody.